Many commentators are of the opinion that Nietzsche's source in this sphere was just one man, Richard Wagner. This is quite possible. Here, indeed, was a rich seam of psychological oddity to be mined. But such commentators tend to overlook the fact that Nietzsche also knew himself pretty well, if intermittently and often a little selectively. Nietzsche's psychological insights are of universal application, despite their eclectic sources, a misanthropic philosopher and a megalomaniac composer. Yet Nietzsche's access to his main psychological source was coming to an end. After the publication of Human All Too Human, the break with Wagner became inevitable. The world for which Nietzsche was preparing in this work was the brave new world of the future. Meanwhile, Wagner was now embarking upon his final work, Parsifal, which signalled the end of his involvement with Schopenhauer and his return to the fold of Christianity. Their ways had parted forever. It is said that Nietzsche knew only one man properly throughout his entire life, and this man provided him with enough material to become the greatest psychologist of his age. Such was Wagner. In 1879, Nietzsche was forced to resign his post at Basel because of continuing illness. For years his health had been frail, and now he was a very sick man. He was granted a small pension and advised to take up residence in a more clement climate. For the next 10 years, Nietzsche roamed Italy, the south of France, and Switzerland, constantly seeking a climate that would alleviate his illnesses. What was wrong with him? Just about everything, it seems. His eyesight had failed to the point where he was half blind. The doctor advised him to give up reading. He might as well have recommended that he give up breathing. He suffered from violent, incapacitating headaches, which would sometimes confine him to bed for days on end, and he was generally a mass of physical ailments and complaints. His desktop collection of elixirs, medicaments, pills, tonics, powders, and potions put him in a class of his own, even among the great hypochondriacal philosophers. Yet this was the man who conceived the idea of the Superman. The element of psychological compensation in this idea should not detract from its central place among Nietzsche's other more acceptable ideas. Perhaps such an element was just the grit in the oyster that produced this pearl of unwisdom. The Superman made his appearance in Thus Spake Zarathustra, a long dithyrambic poem of almost unbearable bombast and earnestness, whose utter humorlessness is unrelieved by its author's attempts at irony and leaden lightness. Like Dostoevsky and Hesse, it's unreadable, unless you're a teenager. But the experience of this work at such an age can often change your life, and not always for the worse.